The word trust was chosen to include information security, but to be much more than that as well. So the issues of dependability and accidental failures are also, although maybe not as visible to the public today or popular, they're actually very serious and more prevalent than cybersecurity breaches.
Just simple failures.
Just simple failures of large-scale computer systems. In fact, as you mentioned, the largest computer systems, as they become more massive and more parallel, accidental failures can become very frequent. But trust then includes not only information security, but dependability, issues about correctness and survivability. So even if in a massive failure situation, a computer begins to fail, we need it to fail in a way that's graceful and that can continue to provide the most critical services. And so the Institute looks at all of this holistically.
As computer systems have gotten more complex over time, so have the types of ways that people can breach those systems. It seems that there's a cottage industry of, you know, whenever some sort of security measure is imposed, the name of the game is to try to breach it.
Exactly. And in fact, we need to understand and protect against the full spectrum of people that might try to breach computer systems, from the so-called kiddie scripters who might download a file from the internet that can automatically and quickly attack a large number of computers, but do so in a way that's fairly known and not so sophisticated, to the so-called zero-day attacks where someone with a lot of resources, perhaps a foreign government, tries to infiltrate a computer system with attacks that have never been seen before. And these so-called zero-day attacks, the new attacks, sometimes are the most difficult to protect against.
What types of, can you name some instances of those types of large-scale attacks that have happened in the past that you want to protect against?
Many of them are not publicly available to be discussed, as you might imagine. You can look at an example, though, maybe a public case of not an attack but accidental failures that involved the computers and the communication systems was the large-scale power blackout of a little over a year ago. And there was a case where a combination of human factors, technical factors, and physical failures of the system all led to that blackout. And that's an example of how these things come together and we need to protect against them.
What types of precautions do you look at as an institute?
The key really is to look at the entire network computer system as a whole. And rather than just protecting particular pieces, understanding that even if particular pieces might have failures or might have breaches in their security, how do we design a computer system so it can continue to operate in spite of those things? So the individual pieces, the firewalls, the intrusion detection systems, the monitoring software, are all key elements. But rather than focusing on those things individually, focusing on them as a whole is a really key thing the Institute intends to do. And that's one of the things that makes it rather unique compared to other, say, security centers and institutes around the country.
How do you balance the ability to access a computer, the availability of these systems, with the need to keep them secure?
Yeah, there's no simple solution, right? The most secure system is the one that's turned off. On the other hand, we depend so much critically on these computer systems today. If the computer systems in the building I work go down, all my students will go home for the day, right? And I won't be able to even find them around. So it's a key balancing act. I mean, there's balancing acts between security and availability, as you pointed out. There's also an important balancing act between security and privacy. And you may need to know more about someone and their use of the computer in order to protect them. But there are real issues of privacy we need to worry about as well.